This is Twit. This is Twit.
A U.S. Senate panel called the Senate Armed Services Committee has found, after a year-long probe, that hackers associated with the Chinese government have infiltrated the computer systems of U.S. airlines, of tech companies, and other firms involved in the movement of U.S. troops and military equipment. The probe ended in March, but was made public today, and also found that the military's U.S. Transportation Command, or TRANSCOM, was only aware of two cyber intrusions out of at least 20 over that year. Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, who also is the committee chairman, said in a statement, quote, "These peacetime intrusions into the networks of key defense contractors are more evidence of China's aggressive actions in cyberspace." The investigation found that a Chinese military intrusion into a TRANSCOM contractor between 2008 and 2010, quote, "comprised emails, compromised emails, documents, user passwords, and computer code." In 2012, another intrusion was made into multiple systems of a commercial ship contracted by TRANSCOM. Hey, Kindle users, here's some good news. New Kindles look imminent. Several listings spotted on Amazon's German site showed a new Kindle Voyage e-reader with a 6-inch high-resolution display and a release date of November 4th. An image of the Kindle Voyage was also found in a user manual with specifications that suggest it'll have a new page press sensor to turn pages and an intelligent front lighting. Amazon has since removed these German listings, but it appears that the new Kindle Voyage would ship in both 3G and Wi-Fi versions. Also, a cached page over at Amazon Japan also lists the Voyage model as 8 millimeters thick and 186 grams in weight, which is thinner and lighter than the current Paperwhite. Amazon lists the Kindle Voyage at 189 euros, the 3G version at 249 euros, which are pricier than the Paperwhite. So, better? Amazon is not officially commenting either way. Verizon Wireless is jumping on the Wi-Fi calling bandwagon. Everybody's doing it. It's announcing its plans to offer the service in the middle of next year. However, company executives are stressing that when a call goes onto a Wi-Fi network, Verizon really can't guarantee the quality of service on that call anymore. And it cites that as a major reason that it took so long for Verizon to launch its voice over LTE service. Call quality. Verizon just wants you to be happy. Last week, AT&T announced that it, too, would launch Wi-Fi calling in 2015, but that the carrier would only use it as a complement to voice over LTE or 3G-based calling. Both T-Mobile and Sprint had previously announced Wi-Fi calling as well, and T-Mobile is the first U.S. carrier to support Wi-Fi calling on the new iPhone. Speaking of Wi-Fi, let's all refresh Twitter for 11 hours straight the next time we fly intercontinentally. What do I mean by that? Virgin Atlantic has announced a partnership with Gogo and will equip its entire fleet with Gogo's new 2KU in-flight Wi-Fi service, which offers shared connections of up to 70 megabits per second via satellite link, which could allow at least limited live streaming video for some passengers. Gogo's current ground-based wireless broadband provides a shared 3.1 megabits per second speed, which, for anybody who's used Gogo on a U.S. domestic flight, knows is not fast enough. England-based Virgin Atlantic is the first European carrier to sign up with Gogo, and the service should be up and running sometime next year. The Wall Street Journal reports that despite major Apple assembler Foxconn hiring more workers to assemble the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus models at its largest production site in Shenzhou, China, demand is overtaking production. This is according to people familiar with the matter. The company has more than 200,000 workers at the site, just making new iPhones, not making anything else, and then key components like metal casings for the phones. Last year, Foxconn was the sole assembler of the iPhone 5S, but Taiwanese contract maker Pegatron was assigned to be the major assembler for the 5C, the cheaper model. So a lot more emphasis on Foxconn this year. An anonymous source tells the Journal, quote, "We've been churning out 140,000 iPhone 6 Pluses, and 400,000 iPhone 6s every day, the highest daily output ever, but the volume is still not enough to meet the pre-orders. The current waiting time for the iPhone 6 Plus is around 3 to 4 weeks. Customers can get an iPhone 6 within about 7 to 10 business days. This is according to estimates in Apple's own online store. Finally, is it cheaper to just ditch your car and just take Uber everywhere? Sometimes I wish it was. But it might be for you. Kyle Hill, who's the founder of a startup called Home Hero, crunched some numbers, kind of convoluted numbers, but found that if you drive less than the than about 9,481 miles per year. It's cheaper to take Uber X everywhere. Now, Hill notes that this really only works with Uber X, not regular Uber, not big SUVs or town cars. And you'd also have to factor in using half of your time sitting in the back seat of the car doing work. That would be boosting the productivity that you would lose driving in the front seat of your own vehicle instead of emailing or making phone calls. So a little bit time is money type thing going on here. Assuming, though, that you've got a daily commute of 25 miles that lasts about 25 minutes, that crossover point that Hill found is that 9,481 miles. At that point, the cost of ownership and the cost of riding Uber X is kind of the same. So cut out a few miles and Uber may be cheaper than owning for you if you live in a city that uses Uber and you don't have a commute like mine.